Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome as our guest, developer, real estate owner, and someone who's no stranger to Rhode Island politics, a former Providence mayor, Joseph Paolino. Thanks for joining us, Joe.
Great to be here. Thank you.
This is very timely because news broke this week that our guest, Joseph Paolino, has a conditional agreement to buy the Newport Grand slot parlor. This comes after a previous deal to buy Newport Grand fell through when Newport voters last year rejected the idea of adding table games there. Joe, why do you think Newporters might be more supportive of gambling than they have been in two previous rounds?
Ian, Diane Hurley at the Newport Grand had to file a suit in Superior Court concerning some of the property there and the ownership of the property. And with that, they had to put in if they had an agreement to sell the place or not. And they answered honestly, yes, they did, which is very conditional. And so we have signed an agreement, but I've also signed a confidentiality agreement with that agreement saying where I really can't talk about that issue. So I don't want to muddy the waters.
Right,
I want the process.
What do you think the highest and best use of Newport Grand would be, just from your standing as a citizen of Rhode Island?
Well, I think it's been a great facility where it is. I'm sure it has great opportunities in the future.
And in terms of last year's battle where voters rejected table games, would you do anything differently in the future from last year?
I don't want to really muddy the waters and be involved in the dialogue of that. I explained that to you earlier, but I don't mind you asking me the question, but I'm going to give you the same answer.
Let's go to Scott here. Scott, as we know, Newport voters have been very opposed to additional gambling at Newport Grand. Do you think the outlook will be different as we see Newport Grand's revenue continuing to slide and with Massachusetts gearing up with casinos?
Well, it's hard to tell. Newport has been against gambling since the 1980s. This town has a long history of that. On the other hand, we see with the threat of Massachusetts coming in, Twin River now asking for an expansion to be able to build a hotel there, we're seeing a little bit of concern or perhaps even some anxiety on the part of Rhode Island and the impact it's going to have on the state budget if our gambling facilities continue to erode their revenues.
Maureen, Rhode Island is expected to take a $100 million hit from the advent of casino gambling in Massachusetts. Do you think political leaders have offered an adequate response?
Absolutely not. I just don't understand this. We knew this has been coming. It's not news. This is a huge amount of money. And the fact that they're idling towards some sort of an accommodation completely astounds me. I don't understand why there is, frankly, proposals for more casinos, smaller casinos similar to the situation in Massachusetts.
To close this out, Maureen, do you think Newporters could be convinced to support expanded gambling?
I think they could. I think with the right educational policy and the numbers flowing as they are, I think that's a real possibility.
State Education Commissioner Deborah Gist is poised to leave Rhode Island later this year to take a new job as the school superintendent in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Some teachers are happy to see Gist go because of her support for high-stakes testing and teacher evaluations, but Gist supporters call her departure a setback for attempts to raise standards and improve public education. Joe Paolino, what do you make of Gist's departure and how that will impact public education in Rhode Island?
I think she was a great leader. I thought she did a good job. I liked it that she was a proponent of charter schools. I think the charter school process has been helpful. I think the whole system should be a charter system, quite frankly. So I think she's going to be missed, but there's always somebody to replace you, and I'm sure that we'll find somebody new. And I was happy to see the governor appoint Barbara Cottom to head up education as the new chairperson. I think Barbara would do a great job over there.
As the chair of the Board of Education, Maureen, what do you think Gist's departure will mean for Rhode Island?
Look, I really think she did do a good job, but I also think that the model has completely changed in the sense that we now accept teacher evaluations and we accept some form of testing. So that was her contribution. I do think perhaps it's time to get a fresh start. I think the model is going to stay the same. We're going to have the same expectations. But given the rancor that developed around her appointment, I think her moving on and a new appointee might be the very best thing.
Scott, how can the state reconcile these competing demands where you have people in the business community pushing for higher standards and you have teachers being opposed to high-stakes testing and evaluations?
Well, I'm not sure they're mutually exclusive. One of the big problems we have, you don't hear people in Barrington or East Greenwich complaining about their public schools, and yet they're all union. I mean, to blame the unions for this is ridiculous. Massachusetts has the highest test scores in the country. All their teachers are union. I think the biggest problem down the road that we have to face head on and try to do something about it is the huge chasm in student achievement between our poor and newly arrived citizens and people who are here. We've got to somehow break the link between the educational level of the parents and the student achievement of the children. And it's a real problem in the urban communities. And I'd like to see the next education chief, and I agree with Mayor Paolino that Barbara Cottom is a very good choice.
Governor Gina Raimondo this week moved to replace six of the seven members of the I-195 Redevelopment Commission. As part of these moves, Raimondo named a longtime real estate investment advisor, Joseph Azrak, to chair the commission. Scott, what's your sense of how Raimondo putting her imprint on the commission will affect what happens at the former I-195 land?
Well, first off, I thought Colin Kane did a pretty good job. One of the things you have to understand is this land, you needed to get the infrastructure ready before you can build buildings on it, first of all. Secondly, it's pretty obvious, along with the education board, that Governor Raimondo wants to put her own people in there. And I think that's a good move because that makes these folks directly accountable to her. And if things don't happen there, then we'll know why. We can hold someone accountable. And I think it's a good thing for a new governor to be able to put in those places the people that she has confidence in.
Joe Paolino, from your standpoint as a developer and real estate owner, how do you think the 195 Commission has done so far?
I'm glad that she replaced them all. I think it's a good thing. I think it's good for her administration. She's the one that ran for governor. The people are looking at her, what's going to happen to the progress of 195? They're not going to look at some bureaucrat that's a member of the commission. And she's got big ideas. I mean, when she sees that Cornell University is building in New York City on Roosevelt Island and doing some great things, and Bloomberg went to recruit them, I'm proud that she understands that process and maybe try to get something similar to that because she talked about it during the campaign. So I think it's good. I like how she's putting together this administration to be her administration. It's not a carryover of somebody else's. And we're going to know up or down, who's making the progress, and it's all going to be up to the governor. I give her credit.
Maureen, do you think the I-195 Commission has moved with enough urgency?
I think it probably hasn't moved with enough urgency. And I agree with Joe in the sense that the governor talked about the fact that the model seemed to be wait for market forces. And what Governor Raimondo has said is it requires political will. It requires a political input, and that's exactly what she's doing. So, the groundwork is set literally and figuratively, but now it's time to move in a political and aggressive way to, develop this land in an appropriate and profitable way.
You know, Ian, this development doesn't happen by itself. It happens when you're going to push it and market it and get out there and try to drive the situation and try to make a non-deal into a deal. Gina Raimondo has that ability to make things happen. I liked it in the paper. She says she's going to drive that force. And I think that is so important. But don't think just by putting up telling everybody, gee, we got this great land in Rhode Island at 195, people are going to rush to us. That's not going to happen. And that's why with her taking the leadership here, I think you'll see things happen.
Before we let you go, Joe, you were in Glendale, Arizona for the Super Bowl last Sunday. What will you most remember about that?
The win. I mean, I got to tell you this. I love Edelman. I think he's my favorite on that whole team. He's young, he's tough, and I've never seen anybody play like he does. To see Butler do what he did the other day with that little hip check and steal that ball. I mean, we're not used to winning a Super Bowl that way. We're used to, getting the pass, the touchdown, and you win. So it was a little different walking out of the stadium saying, did we really win this? But we won it.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Joseph Paolino.
Great being with you. Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at rapr.org.